Like, enjoy yourself. I am enjoying myself very much. I have been so privileged and so honored to be here and just to be a part of what God is indeed doing. Let's see if I can figure this out. What God is doing in this house at you know, I want to just take just some time to thank Pastor Len and Lori for your labor over the years. You know, this just didn't show up. And it's a labor of years and prayer and work and, you know, who knows? I mean, we know. And I just so honored. So grateful. Do let them know that you love them today. Come on. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's not a small deal. And thanks to the eldership, I just love your leadership, and I want to have all of you guys home. Like, how can we be? I guess in heaven we're gonna be all together, huh? It's like, it's so, that we have to go home. I love to come, but I don't like to go home. And I'm thinking, you know, I was talking to Chris last night, and I said, you know, you should be here. And you disobey. But no, she didn't. But, you know, it's just, you know, because we want to expose to what you have been exposed. And for you, it may not be a big deal, you know, it's like, you know, whatever, but, you know, your heart and who you are and this unity and this friendship and this openness and this smile and this, like, you know, it's not normal. It isn't. Like, you think what you have is normal, but I tell you, you know, I go to some places and it's tough, it's hard. You have to, man, you have to, like, work hard. Here, I don't feel I'm working hard at all. You know, it's just a big family, and I just so appreciate that. Right from Thursday night into spending some time with PJ, he was so kind. He took me around Edmonton and showed me all the good things about Edmonton. I just love you, bro. I love your heart. You're just amazing. And you married well, too, just by the way. You know, I tell you. Didn't we marry well? Like, come on, huh? The secret is to marry up. You know, the right one, huh? You gotta, if it's not my wife, oh, Father. I was a mess before, and I still a mess, but I'm less of a mess now than I was without getting married. Anyways, thank you. Let's get into the Word, because time is passing. I promise I'm not going to take rabbit trails today. I promise that. No, I'm not going to promise that, but I'm going to try not to, because, you know, out of all this weekend, out of all the words and everything, if there is one thing that I know that for a fact, for sure, one thing that the first thing, actually, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I begin to just go at it and study, and is the word that I have for you this morning. Now, it's not an easy word, by the way, just so you know. So it's going to be a little different than the words that have been spoken so far. Because it's a word that has the possibility, and I say it has all the ingredients in it and has all the possibilities, but only it's going to make a difference if you act upon it. I mean, every word is like that. But particularly this word this morning, it's almost you don't need to hear, but you need to hear. It's almost as this is like, yeah, we already do that. But you have to take this word so you never forget. You have to take this word so you will be an example to the others that are going to come. Because there are others that are coming. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Don't make this place so cozy that it's just you and nobody else. It's like, you know, I was talking to, you know, I was telling, what's her name again?
Jolene.
Jolene, there is a couple that sits right behind me all the time. You know, they are always there. And when they are not there, it's because somebody took their place, you know? And I always look at them and I said, what happened? And I got it here late. You know, but it's a joke, but, you know, it's like we want people to take our seats. You know, you want to come home, come to church one day and say, there is no place for me to sit. We are on that place right now. That is, I was watching the service, you know, today. It's like, it's overflow now. It's like, if you don't get, in our church, if you don't get about 10 minutes before the start service, you're on the overflow. And some people get mad. And I'm thinking, well, we should have here earlier. You know, we're looking for ways to move, but, you know, the house of God's supposed to multiply and to grow. Is the question is how that's done, though. Not for the numbers, not just because, you know, but it's because God is bringing, and you need to have that expectation in your heart that God is moving, and God's going to move, and people are going to get saved, and more people are going to come. So the word today is a little bit weird, but it's going to make sense by the time we finish. So how many of you wanted to be blessed? How many of you guys want to go to the next level? Live in abundance. Miracles. That's 5, 2, 3, 4. That's... Well, I'm going to give you a key for you to walk on that dimension in every aspect and in every area of your life. And in order that, because I sense about a week and a half ago that there was a wind that was blowing through this house, Pastor Len and Lori, guys, that it's blowing, and it's just going to bring a crop of people that is going to come and sit under your ministry. You know, there is something that is brewing, and you have been at it for years, and you know, and it's a lot in there, and people come and people go and all that, and that's just, I say the church is like airport. People coming in and people going out. The secret is we get more people coming in than going out. You know, and it's happening. I sense a year of blessing. I sense a year of multiplication. I sense that there is transition and good transitions and things that is like, you know, maybe on the natural doesn't look so wow, but in the spirit, from the eyes of the spirit is amazing. I sense that. And I want to start with a scripture that's very familiar and to you, and it's a powerful scripture. This scripture is not the main scripture, but I feel that I wanted to read this scripture to qualify so you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Here it is, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as though you are working for the Lord and not for people. Amen. You got that. Because, you know, it's like that word whatever means everything. Whatever. What do we say? What do we do? So as you give your talent, as you give your treasure, as you give your time, say talent. Say treasure. Say time. You must do it with the understanding that as you give it not to people, you give it to the Lord. Like, I'm setting you up right now because really, as I go through the word, the tendency that you're going to be there, say, yeah, well, you know. No. You gotta understand. Everything that you do for the Lord has to be for Him. You know, when you sing, when you play, when you give, when you serve, whatever, it can't be for you. It can't be for men. It can't be for a church. It can't be for an organization. It has to be to the Lord. And while we say, yeah, it has to be the yeah from here. Because here we say, yeah, sure. But like, do I really do that? Because if not, you're going to be second guessing. Well, you know. And you're going to misunderstand what I'm about to say. So we primarily, we don't serve people with anything, time, talent, and treasure. Primarily, we do it unto the Lord, and we give it to God. And that's why it's worth to take a little bit of time to set you up, so now you can hear the word clearly. Open your Bibles then in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, and I want to talk to you about the four benefits of honor. Four benefits of honor. Out of all the messages, this is the one I feel that is... Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing because I don't want to take the whole time, but here it is. Now, it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem. Is that how you say? Shunem? Is that how you say? Yeah, Pastor? Is that how you say?
Sure.
Thank you very much. Where there was a rich woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly." Father, bless your word today in Jesus' name. Now, there are three different types of people that I want to just share with you, and three different types of believers that I want to share with you. The first one is the ungrateful one. That's the number one type of person. I call this type of person the person who is poor in their soul. They are poor in their soul. The ungrateful kind is the type of person who doesn't recognizes the channel of blessings over his or her life. The ungrateful type is the type of person that makes you feel that you are always owing him or her something. You can never, to the ungrateful, you can never do enough. The more you do, the worse it gets. Because the more you do to the ungrateful, he always thinks that he should be doing more for you. So it's very difficult to deal with a person who is ungrateful because, as I said, you're always owing. You can't get ahead of that. That's the ungrateful. This type of person who can't recognize the blessing in his or her life. Let me give you some examples. The person who is not grateful for his or her job. Is the person that always complains about bad salaries, bad boss, complains about the job, always expresses that it's not happy, it's not good, this job, that thing, and complains about everything. That's the ungrateful one. Is the kind of son or daughter who is very ungrateful for his or her parents. They are rebellious. They are the type of kids that, you know, they shout at their mama. There are no expression of gratitude. They feel like the parents own them something. You know, you're here and you have a feed me. You gotta do everything. It's the entitlement kind of person. You have the believer who is ungrateful for his or her church or pastor. You can't see the church as a channel of blessing for him or her or their family. They can't see the blessings the pastor and the leaders have been on the small group leaders. They can't recognize that there is a price, there is a cost, that is, and they just feel that, hey, you know, it's a person that complains about everything. The sound is too loud, and it's not loud enough, and it's too long, or it's not long enough, or, you know, this or that. It's the temperature. It's everything. It's complaining about everything about church. It's the ungrateful person. And then there is the believer toward God that even feel that God owes them anything and is kind of never grateful for what they have. Ungrateful. Say the ungrateful. But then there is the second type of person, and the people that left this place of ungratefulness and poverty of spirit to a place where he or she recognizes and express gratefulness. They recognize and they express gratefulness. They are able to recognize the channels of blessings in his or her life. So it's the type of person that goes to the workplace and sees the workplace as a channel of blessing. You know, it's not the greatest paycheck, but I'm grateful for the paycheck I have. It's like, you know, it's grateful for the place, that opportunity that they have to be there. They recognize that even though it's not the greatest, but that place is putting food on their table. It's like he's able to say, you know, thank you for having me in this place, thank you for allowing me to work here. It's the grateful person, the person that recognizes, that comes to the boss once in a while and to the owner of the company or whatever and kind of expresses gratitude. It doesn't just take for granted, yeah, I'm doing a favor to you. No, yeah, you know, thank you for having me here. It's recognizes and express the gratefulness. The type of son or daughter who recognizes how much of a blessing his parents have been or were in their lives is the type that says, thank you for, you know, giving me. I realize that it's not a lot, and you, I realize that you wanted to do more than that, but I'm grateful that you have provided me with a home, with a bed, and with food. And mom, thank you for all the sacrifice that you make, and dad, for the sacrifice that you made. I recognize that what you have done or what you're doing for me right now, you know, grateful. Thank you for doing everything that you do. You know, I so love my girls. They, you know, oftentimes, Gabriela or Leticia, she'll never leave my car. You know, as I drop her off to school, and when she was going to school, both of them went to a Christian school, you know, far away, like half an hour away. You know, every time, right? You know, I'd love that drive for 35, 40 minutes with them in the car, you know, and I would make sure that I was the one driving them and picking them up, you know, and it was a fight between Chris and I, who's going to do that? Even today, Leticia in high school, I text and say, okay, I'm picking Leticia up today, you know, and there is not one single time that these kids don't get out of my car. Before they get out of the car, say, hey, thank you for picking me up. Hey, thank you for him. There's not one time that they, I mean, it melts my heart. Sometimes, you know, Gabriela, you know, she comes from Brazil and she said, Dad, can I, I'm just grateful for you. Thank you for, and like, what do you want? It's like, I'll give you anything. You know what I mean? It's like, I think they got me, these kids. Like, grateful for parents is the believer that recognizes and expresses the gratitude towards the church that he or she attends and towards the leaders. Wow, thank you so much for providing a place like we have. Thank you so much for, you know, paying the price, Pastor Len and Lori, for paying the price so we could have what we have. Thank you, you know, for sowing into my life. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for, you know, when was the last time that you got your pastors, your leaders, and expressed? And I know, you know, because that's a culture here, I can see. So, you know, giving you a hard time. But, you know, it's awesome that you do that. It's amazing that you do that. Thank you. Thank you for this house, for this place. You know, this person that recognizes and is grateful, it's the second person. But I have in this text a woman who is able to recognize and the blessing around her. She is what we call someone who is rich in her soul. She's rich in her soul. How do we know that? Well, verse 9 says, and she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Now look, there is this man of God called Elisha, that this prophet who travels from place to place. He goes from one place to another, and Shunem is located between two big cities, like Edmonton and Calgary. There is a middle city called Red Deer. So this Shunem is like in the midst of these two big cities that he's traveled back and forth to. So every time that he passes by, he has to pass to Red Deer. In Red Deer, there is this lady that is just a, you know, a beautiful lady. So between Samaria and Carmel is Shunem. It's a place that travelers would oftentimes, they travel by foot. They would stop and sleep on a Holiday Inn or Marriott, whatever it is that they slept at that time. And they just would stay there and then go to the next day to another city. And so this woman that we have in the text here, we don't know her name. Somehow she becomes friend with this man of God called Elisha. And every time that this man of God is passing by Shunem, she invites him to a nice Brazilian, you know, barbecue and a Brazilian coffee and a Brazilian whatever, a South African for that matter. You know, it's like it's just an awesome little thing that she has. And in one of these trips that this man passes by her house and she invites him in for coffee and they have this coffee and he gets up next day to continue or gets up on the evening to continue his journey or goes to a hotel and spend the night and she, you know, they say the goodbyes and they go to the gate and, you know, saying thank you so much for having me today. Oh, it was awesome. Thank you. And blah, blah, blah. And he leaves and her husband, they stay behind and she look at him and says, honey, wow, that's a man of God right now. If I have ever seen one, He is a holy man of God. When you go to the scripture, you find that holy man of God means he's a chosen man of God. What does she do? What is she doing? She's recognizing. She's recognizing, she's verbalizing, expressing her feelings toward this man, that is this Elijah that is passing by. I recognize that he is a holy man of God. This woman has the ability to express what she recognizes in Elisha. My prayer is that it would be a revelation. It would be a constant revelation in this house. There would be a constant recognition in this house for the different people that have stepped into your lives, and you're allowing them to just exit your lives without recognizing them. Recognizing them. This place I'm sitting is a blessing. The pastors that I have is a blessing. The family that I grew up, not perfect, but man, I'm just here, whatever. Recognition, this job that I have, my life has been changed here. I'm so grateful. Now, I want you to think about this. I would like to tell you about recognition is good, but there is something beyond recognition that I want you to understand. And that place, that type of person is not the ungrateful, is not the mediocre, is not the poor in the soul, is not just the person that recognizes, though it's good to, that a person that recognizes, a person that expresses gratitude, it's all good. But there is a higher place that we needed to fit in. And that is a place of honor. Say honor. Honor is something even higher than recognition. If you are a person that recognizes, amen to you, blessings, amen, it's awesome. But when we understand honor, we begin to walk even beyond a place of recognition, which is already good. What is the difference between recognition and honor? What is the difference between us simply recognize and us be able to honor? What is the difference? Look at verse 9 and 10. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand, so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." What is happening? Elisha is leaving after a nice Brazilian barbecue. And she has a conversation with her husband. He's a mighty man of God. He is a holy man of God. And I really like him. He is a man of God. I just like him. I like the fact that he's in our home. But honey, wouldn't that be a little bit better? Rather than like the guy's traveling from Edmonton to Calgary and he stops in Red Deer. And it's a long way. And you know, and now, isn't that sad that now he's going to Holiday Inn? Like, why don't we have space? Like, why don't we just, since we enjoy him so much, why don't we just build a little room here? And we get a nice little place so when the man of God passes by, then he can stop and spend the night here. He doesn't have to go anywhere. So, you know, it's like, wow, that's amazing. You know, honey, why don't you go to Home Depot? And you buy some stuff. And, you know, we can set up a nice little room for the man of God. And so we get put a carpet on the floor. We get a bed. We get a lamp. We get a table. And we fix this so nicely. And we don't, you know, when he comes next time, rather than we surprise him. So he comes the next time. And then when he stops by, we just get him into the room. Him and Gehazi, that was his servant that was traveling with him. And that's how it went. That's exactly what they did. We will pay an interior decorator, we get an architect, we get an engineer, we get whatever to build it properly. Let's just do that. Well, that's exactly what they did. So what's the difference between recognition and honor? Are you ready? Recognition plus investment equals honor. recognition plus investment equals honor. Verse 9 is all about recognition. Verse 10 is about honor. Honor is what goes beyond what you say. Honor, that's what goes beyond what you just expressed, which is already good. Honor goes beyond. You see, it's not enough for you to recognize that God is God. You have to actually accept Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior. You have to do something with the truth that you have heard. You have to surrender your life to Him. You have to give yourself to Him. You have to place your life in His hands. You see, faith is just faith when you actually do what you believe. It's not only enough you to believe, you get to act upon what you believe so you can enjoy the reward of what you believe. Amen?
Amen.
So it's not just a matter, yeah, I believe. No. You got to go beyond there. Now watch this. It's not just for you to recognize that this house is a blessing. It's not only for you to recognize that your family is a blessing. Not only for you to recognize that, you know, you're... No. I need recognition, and I need that recognition to be transformed into honor. So that honor can work back for me, though you don't do that in order to get. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
We invest our time, our talent, our treasures. We serve in the house. We give in the house. We bring my tithe and my offerings into the house. And we invest my time and I serve and I participate. I'm not just a watch from a distance. I'm engaged in the life of the house. That's the only way that then you can transform what you recognize into a blessing, into honor. And so then you can only enjoy, you see, what you don't recognize, you don't value. Whatever you don't value, you're going to lose.
Yeah, true.
I love you, honey. I love you. I love you. I love you. And you can say that as much as you want to say. There will be one time that you say, shut up and show me that you love me. Ladies?
Amen.
Women, you know, they will love for you to say that you love them. And they will, wow. But boy, if there is only talk and no action, they will kick your behind until, ladies, you're afraid to say yes, yes. It's a demonstration. I mean, as Chris is nice. Chris is very, but Chris has a big finger. This finger here is about this big. She's from South Carolina. When she goes like this, she goes, Frank? Because she talks like that. Weird. I am in trouble. You know, like my girls, I love them. But I have to come from the place of just saying to acting in order for that love to work in my life. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And Lord's going to say, hey, okay. Serve me then. Well, you know, it's a little bit too. Pastor Frank, you know, it's by grace. I know. Try that on the natural. See how far you go. I love this job. Hey, boss, I just love to work here. Thank you so much. I just love to work here. Try not to show up there on the time that you're supposed to show up and don't do the job that you're supposed to do to see how far that love is going to take you. It's like there will come in point in time, I know you love this job, but you got to do something. Did you get it? Honor the Lord with your possessions. What did I say? Honor. What is honor? Recognition plus investment. Okay. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. So your barns, oh, we love that part. I mean, this is the part I love. Pastor Frank, skip verse 9 and go to verse 10. So your barns will be filled with plenty. Oh, I love that word, plenty. Pastor, what is in the root word? What's the root of this word, plenty? Plenty. And your vats will overflow. Ooh, I love that overflow. I recognize that God is my source. That's good, but not enough. I have to give Him what belongs to Him. Thank you for that underwhelming response. Do you know the reason why some people don't move forward in God? Is because they don't honor God. They fail to honor Him. What is honor? Everybody together?
Recognition plus investment equals honor.
That's good.
That's what it is. Gotta do it. But Frank, I'd love to honor my parents, but my parents have everything. They don't need anything. They have everything. They don't have any need. Who said that you honor just people that are in need? Honor has nothing to do with need. Honor has to do with recognizing who that person is. When was the last time that you said, Dad, I'm gonna take you out for lunch? Mom, I want to take you out and I'm going to buy you a dress or whatever. And this is for your parents over here. When your kids do that to you, it's so awkward because you won't immediately pay. And oftentimes, Leticia comes into the car and I know her budget is about this big. And she says, Dad, let's go to, she loves Starbucks. I don't like Starbucks because it's too expensive. Like I like Tim Hortons, you know, I'm a Tim Hortons guy. For the main reason, it's cheap. But Leticia likes Starbucks. So when I want to honor her, I will go to Starbucks. Because I know she loves that. And many times she comes and says, Dad, before school, can you leave early? And let's stop at Starbucks, and I would love to buy you a coffee. And I'm thinking, I could get a Tim Hortons, you know. But I know she likes that. Well, amen. And I'm thinking, many times I think, it's stopping. I mean, you take it. Said, what are you doing, Dad? I don't know. I'm paying today. And I go, oh, absolutely. It's so wonderful. It's a crazy thing. They want to pay something, and then you immediately want to pay back. Like, isn't that so? It's so. Right? It's like, you give. They give, and then you go find a way that you can bless them back.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that right? Hey, the God that you're serving is nice.
Yeah.
Way nicer than I am to my kids. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He is so good to me. It's like, guys, it's like when you love Him and you worship Him and you give out of this, not to have to. I don't have it to serve. And it's like planning center. It's like, no. But when you, it's like
I don't know how you picture, but I think God's in the balconies of heaven. It's like he's looking for that kind of heart. It's like, Holy Ghost, Jesus, come here. Look, enjoy life today. Like, look at these people loving us. Worship. Look at their hearts. What are we going to do?
That's the picture I have. That's why whatever you do in work or deed, do nothing as do as unto the Lord. Because like, but see our problem is? Yeah, you know, just do imposter because I, you know, it's okay. And if I feel like I do, if I don't feel like I don't. I feel like I give. I don't feel like I want to be free. Oh, be free to give. Be free to serve. Be free to express.
Yeah. Amen.
I promise you, I said that I wasn't going to rabbit trail, right? That's what I said. So let's just move on. Let me give you four things. Four. Okay. What does honor do? Honor breaks the power of barrenness. And he said to Gehazi, okay, forget about it. I'm not going to read it. So here's the deal. So they build up a room. It's a beautiful room. They pass back and forth. In 1 year, they stop. One of those trips, they stop at the house. They have their Brazilian barbecue. They had their coffee, South African coffee. And then they go into the room. And the man of God is one in bed. Gehazi is on the floor, just because that's how he goes. And so, isn't that nice that this lady did that for us, that this couple? Isn't that beautiful? Gehazi, man, yeah. You know, Gehazi actually does that. And the man of God goes, yeah, that's awesome. You know, let's just bless her. Like, let's say, because we have some influence with the king. Read it. I'm not going to read it, but it's all there. Trust me. We have some influence with the king. Call her in. Gehazi, call her in. So this is already, she's in bed. So she's had her bed gown, her, you know, what do you call that thing?
Nightcap.
Yeah, nightcap, and she comes in. She goes in, knock at the door. They open the door. Say, well, you know what? Thank you. I just want to express my gratitude for you to do all this. This is amazing. But you know, what can we do for you? Is there anything that you need? And the lady goes, no, I have everything I need. Well, you know what? We know the king. And the king is just a great guy. We're very close to the king, you know. And so we can maybe talk on your behalf to the king. And she goes, no, I have enough. I'm, you know, the Lord has blessed us and we have everything that we need. So we don't need anything. Okay. Thank you very much. She goes back to bed. So then they sit down there in bed and they go, how can it be? Oh, okay, yeah, she doesn't want anything. Turn to the other side, go to sleep, Gehazi. Man, you are a prophet, a man of God. I admire you, but this prophetic gift that you have is preventing you from being the pastor that you need to be. What have you noticed in this house every time that we come? I don't know. What is it? Have you noticed that there is no children running around in this house? That's true. Oh, call her back. Call her back. She comes in again. Knock at the door and goes in there. Hey, listen. I just want to tell you. You have no children. In 9 months, you're going to have a child. She goes, oh, man of God, listen. We have been trying for a long time. It hasn't happened. I settle in my spirit already that this is not going to happen. I'm quite happy with my husband, and so please don't tease me. 9 months later, guess what happened? That is a kid. What happened? Honor breaks the power of barrenness. What is barrenness? That which is not supposed to produce fruit in your life, but is not producing fruit. what is barren in your life right now? What is barren? What in your life right now is barren? There is nothing barren here. I couldn't resist, sorry.
Yes.
You got that one? Let's move on. Could be physically, could be spiritually. Number two, honor breaks the power of death. Honors bring back that which was dead back to life. So she has a kid. Kid grows up, maybe he's 7 years old, I'm not sure. Goes to work in the field with his dad. Getting to the field with his dad, working away on a sunny day, the kid goes, you're reading this in the text, I'm just not going to read it because it's going to take too much time. Oh, man, I have a headache. And, oh, man, you know, got the servants, take the boy back to his mother. Mother's at home, take the boy back there. So the boy goes back there. Mom's on the porch doing whatever mama's doing. And they bring the kid. What's wrong? Oh, mom, I don't feel good. I feel bad. You know, I feel bad. And the kid dies. Boom. And she goes, I knew it. Why did that man of God tease me? Why would God do that, give me, and then take it away like that? She takes the boy. Where does she carry the boy? Doesn't carry to the hospital. It doesn't carry to his own room. Doesn't carry to her own room. Doesn't carry the boy to the couch. Where does she carry the boy? Where does she carry the boy to? She goes up the stairs, open the door of the man of God. Where does she put that boy? In the bed? No. She puts the boy in the offering. She lays the boy on the offering, on that which she has given. Call the man of God. The man of God comes in. She carries that boy to the very room. What is honor again? She doesn't take him to a room full of words. She doesn't take him to a room full of intentions. She doesn't take the boy into a room full of wishes, which is good. Recognition is good. But I'm trying to show you a place beyond recognition. She takes him to the room that she honored the prophet with, and she lays the boy right there. Long story short, comes in. And the prophet comes and revives, resurrection power takes place. Pastor Frank, why are you telling me this? It's because honor brings back dreams that were dead in your life. Pastor Frank, why do you bring me this back here? It's because honor has the ability to bring that which is dead back to life. Marriages that are dead, relationships that are dead, people that are dead in the heart. You understand what I mean? I'm talking about literally, I'm talking about deadness, relationships. Should I tell you a story? I'm not going to. Because I have a story. I have a story, but it's too long. Dead to life. I'll tell you a shorter one. Listen, what you're looking to today is a miracle. right here, it's a miracle. Miracle. I don't supposed to be here today. I supposed to have lost my mind. I was sexually abused from the age 7 to age 11 by an uncle of mine. Grew up not saying anything to anybody. My mom did not know. My dad did not know. My sisters did not know. Nobody knew. Then I'm about to get married. Chris is in South Carolina going to Brazil. I'm in Canada going back to Brazil to get married. And it's so crazy. I went to a state of depression and a state of guilt and shame in such a great way. Are you glad that God doesn't always answer your foolish prayers? Because I prayed sitting on the Varigi airplane with 400 people on board. And I said, Lord, I don't want to go back to Brazil. I was, fear gripped me. I sat there and I prayed, Lord, I don't want to go back. Make this airplane blow up from the sky. What a stupid, ungodly, ... prayer. I got there. I did everything in the book for Chris to break up with me. Everything that you can imagine. We got married. On the night that we got married, we went to the hotel, and that was the first person I told. From that day on, I started a journey of about a year. As soon as I landed in Canada back, I was pastoring this little church. I got somebody else to come in. I sat on the, like Pastor Len and Lori are there. Chris sat beside me. For 1 year, I did nothing. I did nothing. You talk about a guy prior to that time that felt unworthy, dead. You see how I am. But I, here, but not in here. But I tell you, what saved my bacon is the fact that some of the truth of God's word never left my life. And the restoration and the miracle that the Lord gave, the Lord allowed me to walk into, and even today. And I, you know, this is a story that I don't, you know, shout from the rooftop. But I don't keep it because, you know, God has healed me. I have no, you know, I can take you to every single room. I can take you to, I never forgot. But it doesn't hurt. I have a burn here. And you can't see, but I can see. It was a barbecue propane tank that I was working on in this job. And then it got hot and touched. It was just a burn. And for months, I couldn't even wear a t-shirt. It would hurt. But today, I look at that, and I know. I know exactly where it got. I know exactly. But you know what the difference is? It doesn't hurt. Telling that story, it doesn't hurt. Listen, I believe that one of the key ingredients in my life for me to stand before you today, it's just this what I'm preaching to you today. I have decided to honor Him and honor certain things in my life that deserve to be honored. And because of that, the Bible says that we're not supposed to chase blessings. And I don't. But blessings chase me. It's like I can't help myself. And listen, Pastor Len, later on I'll tell you a story. It's not for you guys yet, but I'll tell you. Yep. Because this year, you're about to see this boy gets blessed, and Viva Church blessed in a big time. Amen. I can't help. Even in, this is so amazing that in this camp.
This camp.
Do you think you invite me here? You did. But the Lord brought me here. Yeah. And listen, you thought it was for you, but it wasn't. Sorry. It was for me. Because in this camp, like I can't run. I try to. But like it follows me everywhere I go. They're going to be curious, and I'm going to let that happen. Because it's good. Number three, honor brings deliverance. Chapter 8, verses 1 to 2. Brings deliverance. So several years passes by. I'm not know how many years passes by. And then the Lord speaks to Elisha and said, famine. This land is going to go through major famine. Oh, man. And so they start thinking. The Lord revealed that. He doesn't tell the king. But where does he go? Where does he go to tell that? He goes to the women that build up a room for him. And sit down. The resurrected blessing there. Gehazi, Elisha, mom and dad. Listen, what I'm about to tell you, nobody knows. If people know, it would be bad. But listen, just for you guys, there is a famine coming. And what you need to do, you need to go to TD. Get all your investments out of TD. And you need to get all the money that you have. You need to pack your bags and go to the next door. Because the type of famine that's going to come in this land for 7 years, it's going to be crazy. But since you are so kind to build me a room, I felt compelled to tell you. What does she do? Go to TD, get her son, get all the investments that they have, move to the Philistines, whatever the place that they went. And there they stayed for 7 years. When you learn the power of honor, there is some inside information about life, about kids, about business deal, about that is, I have a, honey, I'm just sensing. What are you sensing? That pastor yesterday that I told you that said that I was preaching, you know, balloons and, you know, five times, the guy said I was doing a bad job. Remember that guy? Yeah. That year was the best year of my life, Pastor Tiltley. I learned so much with that guy. That guy would be like this. We'd be visiting campuses, you know, that they have four or five. And one of the camps would come back from one time, and there was a need in a roof, and they were raising money for the roof. And we went there to watch out, and we're just driving back home, going to eat at his house. Just drive back home, and all of a sudden, he calls his wife and says, honey, you know that thing? It happened again. She knew exactly what he was talking about. Boom, bam, bam. I didn't understand what it was. So he just went in the first car dealership that he saw. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm selling my car. What do you mean? I said, we need a roof. The Lord just said that the roof money is right here. And so here's the roof money. So I'm selling the car. Just like that. Like the guy was just like that. This church serves missionaries outside of Brazil, hundreds of them, in a Brazilian currency. One morning he calls us there, the leadership, he calls us there, says, okay, I pray because we have no money. When they hired me in that church, they said this, Frank, you want to work for us? Here's how the deal is. We can guarantee a salary. But we never miss anybody's salary. But you can't guarantee a salary. So here's how it goes. You come into work, and here's how the payment structure goes. We pay missionaries first outside. Then we pay the people that work on the cleaning the facilities. Then we pay the people that are, and he gave me, and then he was the fourth on the list. And then I thought to myself, and I said, did you ever miss your paycheck? He goes, never did. I said, well, if you are the fourth, you're going to become the fifth. If you never miss your paycheck, I probably never miss my paycheck. We are there praying and no money. Then Brazilian is soccer, right? We are there praying in the morning. God, you know, open the door. That's how we lived down there those days. And so out of the sun comes a knock at the door. It's this soccer player, famous in Brazil. Moved from north of Brazil, playing for Santos. That's the city where we were. Pelé played on that team. And he knocked at the door, and he comes in and says, where is Pastor? So Pastor told him, you know, I have moved over here, and I haven't yet found a church, but the Lord just this morning, he just compelled me to, I have been here for 6 months, and I haven't given my tithe. And so I just want to, for whatever is, I pass by here to go to the work every single day, and I just felt compelled this morning to stop by and give you my tithe. Wow. Well, that tithe. That tithe.
Yeah.
That tithe. So I'm with this guy. They are in Israel. In Israel, Brazil dollar goes up and down. You can have a lot of money one day, no money the next day, kind of thing. So this guy had a business of containers, and all he's making money is US dollars. So Pastor Tlin and this business guy are in Israel. They are there until Tlin gets up in the morning and says, Josie is what the name of this guy, this business guy, said, sell everything right now. And Josie said, what? Sell it. And this guy said, I mean, the dollar is good. He said, it's not going to be good by the afternoon. You better sell it. And so they went away. 2 hours later, Tiltri said, did you sell it? Well, no, I just said, you're going to lose everything. You're going to lose everything. Sell it right now. It's time to sell. So he called home and told the guys, his business partner and stuff, say, you need to sell. Who said so? My pastor. True story. And they sold it. And then Josiah said, okay, and now, you know, like, I might lose everything, I don't know. Well, the next day, the market went down. Big time. That guy made more money because he sold the stuff. He said, how do you know? The Lord just spoke to me. Listen to me. There are inside information, pita. Inside information that might be hidden for a lot of people, but it's not going to be hidden to you. I am speaking prophetically over your life right now. You're not done with me yet. You're not done with me yet. There's so much more to this story. He's not done with me yet. All right. Last one. Can I give you the last one before we go? Are you okay?
Yes.
Honor brings restoration abundance. 7 years passed. That's verses chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. 7 years passed. Famine is ending. Mom and dad take the boy, go back home. Let's go back home. When they arrive back home, that land is filled with squatters. 7 years that they are out of there, man, people just took possession. They start planting on that land. They took possession of the land. They come in, and they look and they go, man, it's our land. It's like full of people. We need to go to the king. Except that same day, say the same day. There was a king that Elisha is having a meeting with the king. And the king say, Elisha, man, tell me some of the stories. I mean, you have some crazy stories. Tell me some of the stories that, you know, that happened, like some of the miracles of God. So, you know, there's so many stories. You know, hey, which one? You know, tell me the best one. The best story. So Elisha thought for a minute. Okay, I know. You know, there is a woman that used to live here. And she, you know, just shows, he began to tell all the story. And the king, I mean, I almost can see they're laughing. Wow, I don't. Now, while he's telling the story, it's in the text. The lady and the son and the husband come in. Not coincidentally, is that a word? It's Jesus-cidentally. Jesus-cidentally. While the prophet is talking to the king, and they're having fun. No way. I tell you, he was dead, came back to life. I tell you, she was barren, and she had a kid. I mean, it's dead. As they are telling the story, the woman walks in. And the husband looks, I mean, this is all me, okay? I can see this event taking place. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the anointing right there. Yes, boys. Yes, boys. Burn the meat. Listen. You know, God is all for meat, I'm telling you. You have never seen a sacrifice of vegetables. There is no such a thing as a vegetable sacrifice. God loves meat, man. Ooh, I love that. See how ADD I am? Look at that. Anyways, Jesus-cidentally, the prophet looks and says, I can't believe, no way. The king, the woman that I am talking to you about is walking through these doors right now. There she comes in. And she goes, King, I need an appointment. What's the matter? You should be happy. She says, well, I am, but we come back from this famine. By the way, the prophet didn't tell the king there was a famine, just told her. That boy there. I wondered the king, you know, I said, yeah, I'll deal with you later on. So she tells the king, you know what? We came back to our land, but our land is just gone, man. There is people plant stuff there. There's a bunch there. Honor brings what again? Fourth point. Restoration and abundance. The king says, yeah, that's not right. Soldiers, come over here. See this woman, this man, and this boy? I want you guys to go follow them, kick everybody out of that property, but you gotta kick them out empty-handed. And so she's gonna live on the land that belongs to her, restoration, and she's gonna live with the stuff that she didn't plant. I don't know about you. If you plant, you will? Most of the time. But there are reaping that you haven't planted. Pastor Frank, and that's the over the message, by the way. I'm promise you, I will turn this down so I'm not tempted. Pastor Frank, why are you talking to us? Because I sense that this place is due for restoration and abundance. Restoration and abundance. If I would sit down with at least 10 of you sitting in this room right now, you would tell me what it was robbed from you. You would tell me the things that it's just hell broke loose, and for whatever reason, but you're okay with it. That could be emotionally, that could be physically, that could be financially. But the message for this house, pastors, as a church, not only God is restoring to you what it has been gone, Not your fault. Just done, over, done. But also, there'll be an abundance that's going to come over your life and over your church. And so, may not be as exciting as it was the last two times we were here, but I tell you, is as much as God right now as it was the past two times. Because I sense that God is about to do something in your lives. I stay away from there. For your lives, that it will be just amazing. It will be just amazing. That will be just amazing. A switch. A change. A restoration. See, you're okay. But God has more. You are okay. You can live for the rest of your life because you're just that kind of a person. But you can't help yourself. That which was stolen, that which was taken, that which was robbed, that which was just taken from your hands, it's going to be restored. And you're going to live in a place of abundance. See this that you have? I can almost see you. Nothing will take you down. You're just that kind of a person. You're going to face things face to face. You're going to just bring it on. But God is about to multiply over your life, sweetheart. He's about to multiply over your life. He's about to pour over you just because He loves you. And because you matter to Him. Yeah, you matter to Him. The unfairness, the talk, the words. Things that people have spoken over you. Almost prophesied over you. Prophesy over you. There is a restoration in this house. There is a multiplication in this house. You take it or leave it. Yes. Up to you.
We take it.
No, I just don't know. All right. Well, you know. Okay. But the honor in this house is going to increase. The honor in this house, I believe that in this room, I'm not even talking about those who are not here. I mean, amen. They should be, but they're not. We want them to be, but they're not. Right? How many of you like say, oh man, I wish that person was here. Did you ever think about anybody?
Yeah.
I just wish that. Oh man. Well, amen. But I believe here is enough to affect and infect the house as a whole. Something is shifting in this place. I'm going to go home if I leave. You know, it's the same worship. It's the same crowd. It's the same thing, but there is something different.
Yeah.
That decline on Planning Center, you're going to start thinking twice before you do that now. Joking around. But it's like, sign me up. I'm here. I'll do it. Yep, count on me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of the other things shall be added unto you. Would you please stand so you may think I'm ending? I am ending. I'm so ending right now.
Don't end.
I am. I have to. Where is that beautiful, anointed, filled of the Holy Ghost, nice, kind, wonderful? Give thanks with